Sweat Technique. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Sam Houston Race Park. Boys are there. Wear pink in honor of the Oaks Lily in support of breast and ovarian cancer. Lily Oak drink specials tonight. Some live racing beginning with the first post at 6:30. Only $5 admission. Plus tomorrow, the biggest derby party in the city of Houston. Only $5. Gates open at 8 a.m. and the first post begins at 10:30. If you got a derby hat, well, they're giving away $500 for the best derby hat. And the mint julep drink specials. Tomorrow's the only day of the year where you're interested in a mint julep, right? Is that the only day in the year that a mint julep sounds refreshing? I think so.
Yes. Yes. And I saw them bring in the fresh mint earlier.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of it.
Yeah. They are ready for the juleps.
I like a mint julep, but I only crave it once a year. And that
I'll take it a step further, Jeremy. That's the only day I think about a mint julep.
I'm not a mint julep guy.
That's the only day I even think about it.
I agree.
If somebody hands me a mint julep, though, I'll drink it.
Well, sure. I mean,
especially if it has a little bit of General Bennett in it. There's no doubt about it.
Just overall, if I have other options, I'll take them.
Right.
Yes.
Nah, come on. You're being a little bit – you're sleeping on the mint julep, I think.
No, I'm not.
Slipping you just on said the it was the only day of the year you're going to have one.
It is, but it's fine whenever I do.
How can we sleep on it if it's a one day out of 365?
Put a little bit of that General Bennett bourbon inside of a mint julep.
I changed everything.
Baby. Oh, baby.
I do want to enjoy my drink, not work through my drink.
It is the only
well played, sir.
The only day I think about a mint julep. There's no doubt about it. But if somebody hands me a mint julep, I'm like, okay, yeah, this sounds good. I'll have one of these. Give me two. If it's free, give me three. All right, what do you do with the Astros rotation when Javier comes back next week, according to general manager Dana Brown, if all goes well at the rehab assignment this weekend?
Arrigetti's going to be the one that the odd man out first. He's going to be out. You're going to adjust from there accordingly. Hunter Brown is still on the clock. He's got to prove that he is far better than what he's shown lately. Never just throw that freaking knuckle curve cement mixer that sits about belt high ever again. And it's literally an open competition for the future. I think that for now, Arrigetti, because of the lesser experience, and I do believe Hunter Brown has better stuff overall, is the guy that you're going to go to, but it's a very short term. It's a very short leash. If he continues to get beat up and just does not look like the Hunter Brown we're expecting, I'm not going to be too patient with him, because you don't have, you know, a lead in the division and some leeway. You got to make decisions, because this team has a little bit more urgency on wins now.
Yeah, I'm going to cheat a little bit and use what Espada said yesterday. They've talked about using a six-man rotation. They're entering a 29-game and 30-day stretch beginning next Tuesday at New York when they start a six-game road trip, three-game series against the Yankees. Their only day off once that little stretch begins is on May 23rd. So 29 games in 30 days. He said that they have talked about the idea of using a six-man rotation. I think the Astros go to a six-man rotation when Christian Javier comes back through this stretch. So I think that both of them stay in the rotation, kind of, outside. It's not really outside the box, because Espada said it yesterday. And I think the guy they send down is Dubin. And they'll go one reliever down in the pen, but that's okay, because you expect a little bit extra coverage whenever you go with a six-man rotation. So I think that they're both going to stay. Now, the question becomes, you kick the can down the road for a few weeks. Either A, whenever the schedule lightens up and you have some few off days when you go back down to a five-man, or B, when Jose Urquidy takes one or both of their jobs. So you're kicking the can down the road with this decision, which might benefit – I don't know who it benefits. If you're going just last start, you probably give Arrigetti the edge. If you're going, like, who has the better stuff, you give Hunter Brown the edge. If you go total body of work, I'm not sure. Maybe it's a draw. But they're both going to have, I think, two, three times to start before a decision has to be made. So I believe they'll go six-man rotation. Dubin will be sent back down to Sugar Land, and you're an arm down in the bullpen.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I wasn't considering that as an option, but I think you're right. I think because of the fact that there's very little in terms of days off, and Verlander will probably push back on that because, you know, he has his own agenda. But overall, the thing to me is I think Hunter Brown's the guy that benefits the most. Because I believe with those two guys, you know, basically in a two-horse race, no pun intended, that they've got to be in a position that one guy has to step up. Right now, after Arrigetti's start last night, he looks like he's settling in. Hunter Brown looks unsettled for the fact that he's still got some things he's got to work in, hone in, and adjust to where I think, yeah, you buy some time and it's still an open competition. I think when Urquidy comes back – you know, whoever pitches the better of those two guys, I think there's a pretty good chance that they're going to be either in the bullpen or they're going to be sent down.
And it might be all three guys, because I think Urquidy needs to be in the conversation in terms of, like, fighting for their spot. Because we haven't seen Urquidy at all. And Urquidy wasn't very good last year. Let's call a spade a spade. Urquidy was not good last year. Now, in the playoffs, he had some good outings for
you. And I was going to say, late in the season, that Arizona game, there were two games back-to-back, I think, that he pitched well in the final week or two of the season, including that big one in Arizona.
Sure. What are you valuing, though? Are you valuing one or two appearances, or are you valuing the entire year?
Don't misconstrue what I'm saying, because the fact is I still don't think he's going to be completely stretched out either. So what he does in the minor league starts is going to say a ton about how you're going to use him regardless.
He has to show you stuff in those minor league starts. Like, if he's in those minor league starts, he's just mowing everybody down and he looks like Cy or Keedy at the AAA level, then okay, like, he's going to get you a start at the big league level. And I know that you use these rehab assignments to work on things. Look no further than Justin Verlander. Verlander in AAA and his rehab start, like, he didn't have the final line that you would love from Verlander. He had two rehab starts where it wasn't great. And it's like, oh no, Verlander's washed. And then all of a sudden he comes up and he's got like a sub-225 ERA in his first two starts and is bumping 97. But Jose Urquidy's not going to have the luxury of Verlander's luxury, because Verlander knows he's going to be pitching in the top half of the rotation, where I believe that Jose Urquidy's actually fighting for a starting job.
Yeah, you beat me to that. I was going to say, he doesn't have the luxury of being Justin Verlander. Work on things, know that he's fine. As long as he says he's fine, you take his word for it. You just throw him out there for the Astros right away and go, yeah, no worries, he's JV. Urquidy is on a totally different planet right now in terms of the fact that he's got to feel like he's in a competition as well. He's got to show, regardless of staying healthy and all those things, he's got to show that he still has the same repertoire of pitches with control of them and the same effectiveness, and he's got to show that he can get hitters out consistently so that there is the confidence that if they make the move and go and give him the baseball every fifth or sixth day, that they're making the right move. He doesn't have Justin Verlander back a baseball card right now, and he doesn't have the luxury of being with a team that's, you know, in first place to be able to kind of get a little bit more leeway for him.
713-780-ESPN 1029. How much of the Hunter Brown problems are mental or bad pitch selection? The stuff is there.
I've been adamant about the fact that the slow curveball, whatever fingers and knuckles he's using, needs to be thrown right the hell out of his hand and never to be used again. I believe in his fastball. I believe in his cutter. I believe that he has enough in his pitch repertoire, even eliminating that he can be an effective Major League Baseball player. I don't. The mental, maybe there's some to where he's got to calm down if the situation doesn't go his way, a call doesn't go his way, he's getting squeezed a little bit, maybe. But for me, more, it's just honing in on what pitches are working for you, what aren't, and getting rid of the ones that don't.
Yeah, I think that it's all part of the calculus. I think that bad pitch selection factors in. I think that, and I wouldn't say he has mental problems. I would say he gets a little bit, you know, angry when things aren't going his way. I would say it's more bad pitch selection than, like, anger. A lot of times you can channel that anger into good things. But I think the one thing that the texter's missing out is command. Like, I would say that the command is the biggest reason that it led to his struggles. You look at the runs that he's given up, or some of the outings where he's not been very good. If you just go back to the Cleveland start, where I thought he was actually pretty good, but that first inning, you get in a 3-0 count to Naylor, and Naylor pokes one out of the ballpark, just barely, but poked it out, and you had to give him a meatball in a 3-0 count. You look at the big inning he had there in the sixth when he shouldn't have been in the game. You know, lack of command, he's putting himself behind counts, getting these hitters into hitters counts, and whenever you have, a Major League Baseball lineup, and you're facing most of them in a 2-1 count, 3-1 count, 3-0 count, where they have a green light, you're going to get hit. Like, go look at these pitchers. Like, go look at the best pitchers. Go look at the best pitchers and look at their numbers whenever they're behind in the count. They get hit hard. It doesn't matter how good you are. So Hunter Brown has to be much better at getting ahead of hitters, and I think that if he does, now he's pitching in control. You get the hitter on his heels a little bit. I think that's what Hunter Brown needs to do in order for him to take the next step.
Yeah, control is spot on. I mean, we know that there's several pitchers that we've seen this year where, regardless of what kind of stuff they have, if you don't have control on the major league level, you're setting yourself up for the scenarios and the situations that you just painted the picture of. You're going to get crushed. You're going to get touched up. You're going to get, more times than not, you're going to get an early trip to the showers, because these guys are the best in the business at doing it, and you're in order to get them out, you have to be effective, and you've got to be able to not only keep them off balance, but you've got to, even when you miss, you have to miss around the strike zone, and you can't miss belt high sitting right there down Main Street where guy major league hitters that are good baseball players are going to put the barrel to the baseball.
King of Twitch says that Hunter needs another pitch. He's got four. I think he has five.
He has five, which is why I said I like the way King of Twitch is thinking, because that means that he's eliminated that knuckle curve piece of junk anyway for the rest of the season anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sound like Gilbert, for God's sake, anyway.
What is that supposed to mean?
Gilbert, that's his favorite thing to say. Anyways, John and Lance, anyways.
And I said it about three times. Better watch out. You're going to get canceled talking that way.
Everybody imitates the way Gilbert says anyways.
Can you do that in 2024? Can you imitate Gilbert types in 2024?
Politic for it. Maybe you get your wish. I'll be eliminated.
I wouldn't politic for that.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Everybody imitates Gilbert.
Yeah, I wouldn't politic for you getting canceled. I'm trying to have your back so you don't get canceled. I don't want you to
canceled. You're asking you want to vote to see if it was worthy of being canceled.
No, I'm asking, can you get canceled for that in 2024? Because I don't want you to do it. I want you to stick around. I want a 10-year run between you and I. If I were Adam Silver, I would suspend Patrick Beverly yesterday. How many games? And let's dive into what Patrick Beverly did, acting like a child. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees live from Sam Houston Race Park on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
All right, Patrick Beverly was acting like a child yesterday. Patrick Beverly, his team was down by, 20-30, with 2.5 minutes left to play, and he tosses the ball into the stands. A gentleman, who I'm sure had nothing but nice things to say to the Bucks bench, just tossed it right back to him. Beverly catches it, fires it into the stands at another fan. He hit a woman on one of the tosses. There was a big guy with a jersey who didn't have sleeves on who was jacked. I feel like they should have let that guy go at Patrick Beverly. We should have seen that fight. I'm a little disappointed we didn't see that fight. He was acting like a child yesterday because he was being a crybaby that they were down by 20 with 2.5 minutes to play. And I hate saying crybaby because it's insulting to crybabies based on the antics of Patrick Beverly yesterday.
This was an absolute embarrassment for Patrick Beverly. Indirectly, it's an absolute embarrassment for the league, and they need to drop the hammer on him, because all the way back to his days in Houston, this is who Patrick Beverly has always been. You think about the cheap shot in the back of Chris Paul walking to the bench for a timeout because he was mad about the way the game was going and they were about to lose. You think about the fact that whether you liked it at the time or you encouraged it at the time because you're a Rockets fan, he literally forced Russell Westbrook to have season-ending surgery because as Russell Westbrook was trying to call a timeout, he was a little too much extra. He's been extra his whole career on and off the floor. This took it just extremely too far, and this is where the league has to step in. You hit a woman in the side of the head with the first one, and you shouldn't have done it. Then the guy who you were aiming for who ended up with the ball, as you said, threw the ball back to the bench, and then he fires a shot into that guy's chest. That was enough right there for me to give him 20 games. And we've seen enough of this crap from you before, and you've gotten away with more than you should have. But this is, how they say with Draymond, because it's a continuing theme, because this is a multiple-time offender, this is the time where you have to basically say, this is it, and you are getting the full hammer thrown at you.
If I was commissioner of the league, I would try to suspend him for an entire year. You can't have players throwing basketballs into the stands and firing them at people. You can't have your players doing that in the NBA. And it was reported that what the fans were saying was Cancun on three. Yeah. You're that soft? They're just heckling you. They're heckling you. As a professional player, you have to deal with the heckles. And then you're firing a basketball into the stands. I would try to suspend them for the entire year. Players Association probably wouldn't let me do that. I would try to aim for 41. They probably wouldn't let me do that. I would do at least 20. And 20 is significant, because it takes you away from the minimum 65 game thing. Now, not that Patrick Beverly is going to be in the running for any awards at this stage of his career, but he would take that as man, that's a stiff punishment. But it was a bad look by Patrick Beverly.
So this goes back to when you talk about, and we've talked about points of emphasis. We talked about it in baseball. Every year the league does the same thing with points of emphasis in terms of referees and what they're going to really look for cleaning up the game and calling. One thing ever since Charles Barkley did the spit thing into the stands that hit the little girl in the face years and years ago, that got really, really magnified in the past, I want to say 10 years, is anything to do with anything with the fans, and they will throw the book at you. That means you go back to when Westbrook hit the phone out of the fan's hand, or even though the fan, you know, the water bottles being thrown at him or the popcorn dumped at them, you can't retaliate. The one thing when the guys throw the basketball against the standard, even if they don't hit a fan, because the fans are in line if the throw goes awry of being possibly injured, the penalty, the league has said, is going to be more severe. What he did last night, and he did it multiple times, don't tell me that you were, you know, don't give me this, oh, I didn't mean to do it. Don't give me all this after-the-fact apology BS. You did it twice within about a 30-second span of time. You hit one lady in the head. You drilled another guy in the chest. God forbid if a kid had walked in front of that or he had thrown aimlessly. That guy has already done too much, but the fact that he did what he did, let alone the postgame in the locker room, the media, but just what he did alone last night from the bench alone warrants as big a suspension as they can throw at him.
Yeah, Austin, cue up the Patrick Beverly talking to the reporters after the game. Now, what do you think he would have killed the kid with his basketball? With the way they fired
him? No, it doesn't matter. But because you know, you talk about from the standpoint of Barkley spit and some of the spit got in a little girl's face years and years ago. Now, that's not going to, you know, bodily harm. It's disgusting and everything like that. But it just, the league was out in front of all of this to say, we're not going to give you even the opportunity to where there's any, the fans could be at any risk at all. Because they pay their money, and granted, there have been people that you can do, you can point it out to the officials. If they say too much, you can be ejected. But that's how you're supposed to handle anything with unruly fans. It's not, you know, whoever could be in harm's way. You tried to inflict some kind of harm throwing two basketballs at two fans regardless, and that's way too far.
Yeah, 20 games at minimum for me. And if it's less than that, I would be offended. 9075, why was he thrown out of the game? That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't see it.
I don't think the referee saw it.
7869, will those fans sue Beverly? I would. I'd sue Patrick Beverly.
I would,
Beverly.
Too. Why Hell, not? Yes, I would.
Yeah, give me a nice little seven-figure settlement. I don't know if it'll be that much. 15 games and an apology to the fans he threw the ball at and the reporter he was disrespectful to. So after the game, like the ball throwing is one thing. Like that to me is at least 20-game suspension, and I would not be offended if it was way more than that. And I like Patrick Beverly. I liked Patrick Beverly. Yesterday, though, he lost me. I'm out on Beverly. Like if it was a racist thing, like, okay, now we have a conversation. If they were saying something about, like, the family, okay, now we have a conversation. That they were saying Cancun on three and he fired the basketball at them, that's ridiculous. But anyways, after the game, he was, you know, the media scrum, they were around him. And listen to what he said to one of the female reporters, Melinda Adams.
Here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then.
Okay,
no disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe.
Yeah, my face,
was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over? Kind of like you have in the past.
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
What a child, this Patrick Beverly.
It's a ridiculous look. It's a sexist look, for one thing, because I don't think that he went around the circle and the scrum around him and asked every guy if they had subscribed to his pod as well. Coming off of what just happened, and no matter what, whether you know you had some time to think about it, the game just ended, you were in the showers, you're now in your street clothes, you got to realize, if you have any thought process at all, I probably shouldn't have done what I did. I screwed up. But then you exacerbate everything by going into the post-game media session and embarrassing the female producer from ESPN that was covering it, embarrassing yourself again, disrespecting her, and then in a bigger picture, just disrespecting yourself to look like a complete clown show Like, this is where, on top of what he did out on the court, the NBA, who is now investigating both incidents, is not going to need a whole lot of deep dive to figure out this dude is – he needs to be reprimanded. He needs to be dialed and reeled in. And I don't know how great the punishment can be, but it needs to be to the maximum extent.
I don't his idea in the locker room, though, I don't know if I hate that idea. It's pretty good marketing. If you want to text or call into our show, you have to follow me on TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham from here going forward. Wheatstraw says that Patrick Beverley needs to take a page from the Killer Bees playbook on how to deal with a heckling fan. Just read his text on Friday, I guess. 5315, what if Pat Bev pulls a Myles Garrett and says it was a racist thing? Like Blanker said, full investigation. Let's find out. Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's figure out if there was that thing said, because you have a lot of people in the area, and then you have a lot of players and coaches that were in the area. So let's do the deep dive. Let's do the full investigation, and let's see what the truth is.
You're right. Just like, if you remember, there was a couple in Utah that was, it was Westbrook, and the Westbrook made the allegation about what he was yelling racist things. Whether you believe that the fans are going to have another fan's back or not, between the players and all the people within the general vicinity, you're going to get a pretty good idea if it was said or not. And everybody last night was not saying anything about anything racist. And then Pat Bev, who didn't want to walk it back initially, tried to walk it back on social media a little later that he's got to be better. No. You've had plenty of opportunities to be better. We've seen who you are in the past. You just took it to another level that's way too far now. There's no trying to wiggle your way out of this. Mm-hmm. You need to own it, and you need to serve whatever they give you. And you're lucky that they can't probably do as much as you probably deserve.
Yeah, they can't. You're right about that part, and it's a shame. Melinda Adams did tweet that Patrick Beverley called to apologize to her this morning, and the Bucks organization called. Okay, that's a good step one. Admit you're a mistake. So I'm cool with that. 4-0, but I'm not saying that I'm not condoning it. I'm not going to, like, lower the suspension. Yeah, you made a mistake, accept the suspension, and then still apologize. 409, Josh, Beverley should have to publicly pick between a lengthy suspension with a heavy fine or a sanctioned fight with the Pacers fan that was behind the bench in the 0-0 jersey. I want to see the fight. Now, if he could be suspended 0-game, I want to see the fight, but because that guy was going to go after him. Well, rightfully so. Like, if he's firing the ball at him, he didn't do anything, yeah, go after the guy. That's a fight right there. Absolutely, it's a fight. 4071, what about the opposite? If a fan threw the ball at Patrick Beverley, it's a great point. They would ban the fan from life. He would never be allowed back into the NBA, in any NBA arena.
Look, I happened to be in close proximity to when Vernon Maxwell went into the stands.
What were you doing there?
I'm not talking because I'm done with that gimmick. The fact of the matter is
the Rockets gimmick? That you work for the Rockets gimmick?
The fan, what came out of that fan's mouth talking about Vernon's stillborn daughter crossed every line that you could ever imagine. And as a father and someone that is anywhere, you know, the minute that that everybody heard it, it was like your blood was boiling already. I know that the league now in a different era says you can't go up in the stands. I don't blame Vernon for anything he did after that point. That comment reached that point, because I don't know what I would do. That's how far over the line he went. But even still, since then, the league has implemented rules, not only with the media. You have to answer questions. You can do the whole Marshawn Lynch thing. I'm just here so I don't get fined. But you have to honor the media that have credentials and be in the conversation. But from the standpoint of fans, they are off limits. No matter what they say or do, your protocol is you get a team official, you get security, you get them tossed out or reprimanded, but you never lay hands on them, or you don't instigate the confrontation.
Agreed. It's cool how you had that kind of access. All right, who said it? The Killer Bees look for win number 11 in a row against Tremac, and who said it? Brian's going to read to us things that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities. Killer Bees, guess who said it? America's favorite game next with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
All right, time for Who Said It, everybody's favorite game, where Brian reads us quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities, and then the Killer Bees guess who said it. It's in the name. All right, we've been dominating as of late. What's the win streak up to?
I think 16 in a row.
It's pretty high. Best run we've ever been on.
It's uncharted territory.
Good deal. All right, let's get started. Quote number one, I should say.
All right, quote number one. I heard it was Joey Loperfido Day. Joey Loperfido Day? That just speaks to the desperation to potentially get excited about a part-time first baseman who can't keep from striking out on the minor league level? Joey Loperfido Day. I don't want to be a part of that holiday. That's a terrible holiday.
That's a long quote.
It's also negative, right? Like, I read the negativity there. Like, you picked up on that?
The sounds squeaky like Paul right off the top.
You think it's more Paul?
No, just the delivery with the kind of when you get into kind of some of the comments and the voices go up a little bit. That's Paulish.
I think it's either Paul or Dell. I think they would be. I don't see Joe being negative. I don't see the bench being negative about Loperfido on Loperfido Day. Can you read it one more time?
Sure. I heard it was Joey Loperfido Day. Joey Loperfido Day. That just speaks to the desperation to potentially get excited about a part-time first baseman who can't keep from striking out on the minor league level. Joey Loperfido Day. I don't want to be a part of that holiday. That's a terrible holiday.
You're right. It sounds like Dell. Of the two, the second time around, I can really see Dell saying it just like that.
Like he's slower, sarcastic, like this is the holiday? Yep. I'm not going to be any part of that holiday. It's definitely one of those two. I lean Dell over Paul.
I'm good with it.
All right, let's do it. Dell Olalea.
I heard
it
was Joey Loperfido Day.
Nice.
Joey Loperfido Day. That just speaks to the desperation to potentially get excited about a part-time first baseman.
Funny thing is, I can't read BMAC to the point of he gave a thumbs up after we started playing the clip, and I didn't know if we were right or wrong. Because he celebrates when we're wrong, and then he gave us the – I guess that was the thumbs up that we were right.
I hadn't even thought about playing those mind games on you, but now I think I'm going to start.
Jeez.
Thank you for the idea. Are you ready for quote number two?
Yes.
Sure.
All right, quote number two, a little bit shorter this one. All I know is if I had all online classes, I would have flunked out of college. That would have not been for me.
Paul and Joe, I believe, because Paul tends to go to his Syracuse days – when referencing lots of things in college. The problem is that of the two of them, it sounds like Joe would be the one that follows up that doozy after Paul mentioned Syracuse of saying if he didn't have to go to class, he'd have flunked out and no one would argue with him.
Yeah, my first inclination was Joe whenever I was hearing that. I don't think that Paul would think of himself as one who would fail all online classes. I think Paul's usually pretty confident in himself. That he could get things done, and I agree with Paul. I don't think Paul would fail if he had all online classes. Joe, I can't say the same thing. So I do lean Joe here.
I think I'm good with that too, because I do believe that they were talking about college classes and stuff when I was in the car one day.
Okay.
And I would agree that Paulie believes in his own intelligence enough to believe that even if he had online classes, he would not flunk out.
Yeah, like his mental strength and his will to get things done. Because I was thinking Joe even before you said that you thought you heard it on that show. So let's do that if you're cool with it.
Yep, let's go, Joe.
Joe.
All I know is if I had all online classes, I would have flunked out of college.
Well played, by the way, Brian. I didn't react at all. I wasn't sure again.
2-0. 2-0.
All right. You were in the spot that last week.
Shut up.
Before you won.
I don't want to think about that right now.
19
hey, we're John Singleton. We're 19, hot now.
19 in a row.
Two bombs and two at-bats. Let's go.
All right, you missed all last three last week? I don't remember that.
Yeah, you started off 2-0 and missed 3 in a row.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, despite that, still won 21 games in a row. All right. Anyway, quote number three. I hope they're right. Just because everybody has been down on this pick. And I hope at some point Michael Penix shows that everybody in Fontenot can go, you see. I mean, I liken it to Duke lacrosse. It's probably a bad analogy.
Wow.
Okay, say that again.
One more time. All right. I hope they're right. Just because everybody has been down on this pick. And I hope at some point Michael Penix shows that everybody in Fontenot can go, you see. I mean, I liken it to Duke lacrosse. It's probably a bad analogy.
I feel like this is Lance.
So who knows that Fontenot's the GM of the Falcons? Who can reference Duke lacrosse.
Lance. I think this is Lance. Because they're talking about the draft. I mean, everybody's talking about the draft.
Right.
But you're also this was also this week, and the draft happened Thursday. So you're talking about the first round after and through the weekend.
I was just going to say every quote's from this week. I never go back to a previous week.
Right. So they're talking about the NFL draft on at least Monday at the latest when it happened last Thursday. So they carry draft talk over through the weekend into this week and from an NFL perspective. I think it's the morning show. I would lean Lance over John.
Well, yeah, in that scenario, yes. I still, for some reason, could see Paul and Joe discussing this as well, and Paul saying that.
I don't know if they're talking first round NFL draft that happened on Thursday into this week. But I mean, I don't listen. You do.
Well, they both did. I mean, they did the draft show with others.
So more time to get their takes out. I think it becomes less likely that they would carry it over.
So you're thinking this is morning show?
I mean, my feel is Lance, yeah. But I would say, yeah, I would feel like morning show for sure.
Can I have it one more time, Brian?
Sure. I hope they're right. Just because everybody has been down on this pick. And I hope at some point Michael Penix shows that everybody in Fontenot can go, you see. I mean, I likened it to Duke lacrosse. It's probably a bad analogy.
Duke lacrosse. I want to know where that analogy comes from.
You know the story, right?
About Duke lacrosse?
Yeah.
Of course, but how is that a comparison?
No. I'm just saying. I thought you were saying it like you didn't know.
No, I'm saying where does Duke lacrosse come into comparison of Michael Penix being drafted number 8 to Atlanta when they have Kirk Cousins? I don't see the parallel with Duke lacrosse.
That's a good point.
That's where I'm at. But I see. I think it's Lance because sometimes his mind wanders. Paul, I think would complete the thought. He would see it through. I think this is Lance.
You don't think it could be John?
I can hear
John saying it too. You know what? I'll be a good teammate.
I think this is Lance.
Okay, we'll go Lance.
I hope they're right.
Dang,
just
it's John.
Because everybody has been down on this pick, and I hope at some point Michael Penix shows that everybody.
I wonder what the Duke lacrosse thing was. That blows my mind.
Yeah, no, when I heard this clip, I had to make it a part of it just because what's not included in the clip is Lance having the reaction we did to John referencing Duke lacrosse. He goes on and says, what does Duke lacrosse have to do with this?
Did he try and explain it?
I didn't keep listening after that. I got what I needed. And
if I had to guess, I would say it's like a change of opinion. Like, because whenever that happens, it's like, oh my gosh, Duke lacrosse is the worst. And then years later, it's like, okay, Duke lacrosse got screwed. So I bet you it's a change of opinion. I bet you that's where he's going there. All right, number 4.
Actually, John was trying to make the point that everybody was on, or everybody was against Duke lacrosse, like as in everyone was against the Michael Penix pick. Anyway, all right, quote number 4. You guys are up 2-1.
So close.
Just a reminder. As someone who has flicked somebody off on the road only to have that person try and drive me off the road, when you're driving out there, take it from me. Be calm. It's not worth the honk. It's not worth the middle finger. It just isn't. I can't say if this was a personal message to Joel Blank, but...
I can't say
it's not, though.
I think this is Blankers.
Sure, my wife. I was going to say it's either me or my wife sent that in about me. I think this is because Paul has anger issues.
Yeah.
I think this is Paul because, you know, and he's always talking about his driving
soft.
And his car. And, no, he's always talking about whether someone touched his car, they tried to wash it and they made it dirtier, or where it got vandalized at Minute Maid Park, and the insurance company screwed him, and then, you know, he gets testy about things.
I can see that. I don't really have a strong feel here.
One more time, Brian.
Just a reminder, as someone who has flicked somebody off on the road only to have that person try and drive me off the road, when you're driving out there, take it from me. Be calm. It's not worth the honk. It's not worth the middle finger. It just isn't.
I don't see Dell caring enough to flip anybody off.
Yeah. I think it's either Lance or Paul.
I could see Joe saying this, but if I'm picking the strongest candidate, I think it's Paul.
Yeah, I would say Paul. I would think my two are Paul or Lance, but I do lean Paul. Yeah,
You can't see Joe saying that? Because I could see Joe say, admitting that he gave someone the finger, and then I could also see Joe getting run off the road.
It's a little too long-winded for Joe. That's not an insult. That's not an insult. Well, it's just, you know.
Joe just doesn't talk in complete sentences.
I wouldn't say that. I just don't think it's Joe. You want to? You say Paul? We're leaning Paul?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Paul Gallant.
Just a reminder.
Yes.
As someone who has
got to win
somebody off on the road, I need to have that
hang it on the left.
Congratulations.
Drive me off of the road.
Hang it on the left.
I was a little worried about that quote. Joel picked it up immediately. The anger issue.
Oh my
God. Yeah. In hindsight, I probably made that one a little easy. Joel picked that one up right
away.
Oh,
stop soft selling.
I'm just saying, you know.
Let's do the last one.
All right. Let's see if you can get to 4-1 for the week. All right. We can all see it coming.
1-0.
We can all see it coming, and yet no one can stop it because everyone is so greedy. Like, people don't have jobs now because AI is starting to, you know, the robots, AI, automation is taking a bunch of jobs, and we just keep going. Let's keep it going. What else? Like, well, did you see the one with dogs? They put a flamethrower on a dog. What possibly could go wrong with a robot dog with a flamethrower that you can't stop?
Sounds like a Lance one to me. Kind of a run-on. He likes to talk about AI. He defined what AI was to everybody like we didn't already know what AI was. It sounds like a Lance one to me.
Where did they get the topic? News of the Weird?
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah, that News of the Weird segment allows them to talk about anything,
really. Right?
So, like,
right.
You can't take them off limits for anything.
Nope.
It sounds like Lance's just sitting structure there.
I would say one more time, but it was long.
Yeah, and we already won. So
yeah, and we already
it doesn't
won.
Really matter. Let's just go Lance.
Let's go Lance. It's fine.
We can all see it coming.
Yeah.
Yet no one can.
You know, we were so close to 5-0. We were so close to 5-0.
Yeah, we were. We had the show nailed. I gave you that one last. And it's,
yeah. We were like 60-40 away from
the sure it wasn't Granato, but okay.
You guys picked up on it again right away. As Jeremy said, that was total Lance sentence structure.
Yeah.
The way he kind of stops and starts thoughts right in the middle of a sentence. Yeah, that was
and a little rambly, you know.
Right. That was total Lance sentence structure.
That was well done by us, Blankers. Good job.
4-1. Good job.
Virtual high five on that one.
Yes. I'm very pleased with that.
Astros take on the Mariners tonight. First of a three-game series, first place Seattle Mariners. I want Minute Maid Park to have a reputation, dog. Start of the series, is this guy a player on the Mariners or is he a player on the Seattle Seahawks? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
All right. Every time the Astros open up a series against a new team, play a game, is he a Mariner or is he a blank? Today, it's Blanker's assignment, and he's going to go with, is he a Mariner or is he a Seattle Seahawk? Blankers, take it away.
I am, except my computer is reloading and where I have this information. I wasn't sure, by the way, which one I was going to go with. If I was going to go History of Seattle Supersonics.
Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah, that might have been good.
Would have been good.
But I wasn't sure if
they'll
some
play
of those
the, they'll play Seattle again.
Yeah, you could do that. Oh,
that's
or,
right. That's right. That's right.
You could do Mariner or Seattle Kraken. That one would, maybe a Russian name. I actually kind of give it away. Never mind. That might be too easy.
Oh, the hockey team?
Yeah, that might be too easy.
Or the is it
every
the Sounders
hockey player a rusher or a Russian?
A rusher. I don't know. It's just if there was like a Scandinavian sounding name or a Russian sounding name, it'd probably give it away. Is Not it, many of those guys in Major League Baseball.
What's their soccer team is the Sounders?
Yeah, Sounders. Yeah.
I could have done that, and I'm not doing us any favors right now. With my computer is very slow here. So
what are you using, Adele?
No, Dell's in the morning.
But grade the joke 713-780-3776.
Actually, you know what? 7.1. That wasn't bad.
Thank you.
I'll go 4.2. If he would have said hello from the other side, that would have been like an 8.3.
Okay. Here we go. All right. I'm getting there.
Wait, jokes about Adele are fresher than about Del Olalea?
I mean,
yeah.
One of them has millions and millions of Instagram followers, one has dozens.
Yeah, I guess.
Is your computer loaded now? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm trying to reload.
Are you using America Online or what?
No, remember, we're on remote. So we're at the mercy of the Internet of Sam. Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
I'm trying to figure out the computer. The files are in the computer.
No, it's not my computer.
They're in the computer.
Thank you. All right, I got it now. All right, first one. A.J. Barner.
A.J. Barner?
Jeremy, you going first or am I going
first? I'll go first.
Okay.
I've never heard of A.J. Barner.
I haven't either.
I feel like there's more football players I haven't heard of than baseball players because there's more of them, and they're like non-skill position players. So I'm going to go football for A.J. Barner.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way too. I'm going to go football player as well.
You guys are both correct. A.J. Barner is a tight end for the Seahawks.
I had never heard of him.
Yeah, I've never heard of Barner either. I draft a lot of tight ends.
I just feel like there's more A.J. This is a really random take, but I feel like there's more A.J.'s in football than there are baseball.
Really?
AJ
yeah,
Hinch?
I know there was an AJ Burnett, obviously
yeah.
in the picture.
One of my buddies is he got a cup of coffee in the bigs, and his first name is AJ. So I would disagree
maybe I'm wrong.
With this.
That was just a gut feel.
All right,
okay.
Number two.
All right, one,
next one. Cody Bolton.
So I'm first. I again have not heard of this person whatsoever. I think I'm gonna go game theory here and maybe guess that you're alternating. I don't really know, but I'm gonna say baseball player.
What are you trying to say about his IQ, that he would do that?
I'm just saying that's natural game theory, to alternate and not go too many
Where's my feng shui, Dusty?
I'm going to go.
I haven't heard of the player, though.
I don't feel like I've heard of him either. Sounds like a baseball player to me, though. I'll go baseball player.
You guys are two for two.
Boom.
Cody Bolton is a pitcher for the Mariners.
Well, so Jeremy's two for two. I'm one for two. Yeah,
no, you said football player? I thought you said baseball player.
Oh, you're right. I did say baseball player.
Jeez, don't let me help you, but I'll help you.
Okay, all right.
You get docked a point for ignorance.
I don't disagree with that.
Maybe docked half a point. Let's dock half a point.
So did you go football?
No.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out.
All right.
Next one. Taylor Saucedo.
Oh, that's a baseball player. There's not many Saucedos playing football. That's a baseball player.
I don't know what you're trying to say there, Jeremy, but I will agree with you. Baseball player.
Yeah, it's a baseball player.
3-2.5. Bradham's in the lead.
Okay. Cody White.
Oh, I actually know this one, I think. Football player.
I'll play defense here, and his confidence at the very beginning. So I'm going to say football player, too.
You're correct. Wide receiver for the Seahawks.
I never heard of him. Where did he go to school?
I don't know. I just remember seeing that name when I'm looking at team dev charts.
Okay. You do that a lot?
Occasionally for, seeing how many targets a guy might get, see whose competition is.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Okay. Final one. I only did five, and you guys are rolling through these. Drake Thomas.
Drake Thomas. The Drake. Everybody loves the Drake. I'm going to go football player for Drake Thomas.
The only chance I have is for Jeremy to be wrong or for me to be right. So if Jeremy's going football player, I will go baseball player.
Drake Thomas is an inside linebacker.
Oh, yes. Damn.
For the Sea Chickens.
For the Sea Chickens?
Yeah.
I never heard that line.
Oh, up in the Pacific Northwest when you're not a Seahawks fan, that's a name.
There is an excitement here at a Sam Houston Race Park for a race. Where is it? Santa?
Well, there's two going on simultaneously.
Yeah, Santa Anita Park.
One's at Santa Anita. One's on grass. One's in
mud.
Pea soup.
Yeah,
and
one's in mud.
And everybody's screaming at both TVs.
Well, you know.
Lots of action going on.
You know why that horse won, right?
It's a mutter.
His mutter was a mutter.
His mutter was a mutter.
His mutter was a mutter.
Raid the joke.
No, that's Seinfeld.
I mean, it was the great Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld, so it's going to be pretty good.
Grade
the jokes of Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld.
No, not the jokes, just the one you guys chose to use.
That's their joke. We're quoting their joke.
It's a quote. It's quoting Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I thought there was Kramer in that scene. Kramer was betting on the horses.
Yeah, he was betting on the ponies, and he was even like doing whenever the race was running. Remember, he was doing like the little animation of a jockey.
Yes,
when he was like jumping up and down.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he was patting himself like he was chewing on the horse. Yeah,
Seinfeld was on Eisen yesterday, and they were talking about the scene where Kramer hit the golf ball into the hole of the dolphin.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, is it a Titleist?
Right.
He said they didn't write it. They didn't write that into the script until like 12 hours before filming it, and they gave Costanza the line like 30 minutes before he like filmed it in front of a live audience. Pretty crazy.
Wow.
to think about. The boys are sweating the ponies because they're at Sam Houston Race Park ahead of tomorrow's 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Advanced wagering available tonight on the entire Churchill Downs card. Wear pink tonight in honor of the Oaks Lily and in support of breast and ovarian cancer Lily Oak Drink specials tonight. Live racing, first post at 6:30 p.m., and it only costs $5 to get in. And then tomorrow, the biggest derby party in the city of Houston, $5 general admission. The gates open as early as 8 a.m., first race post at 10:30 a.m., the Kentucky Derby simulcast, the first Churchill Downs race at 9:30, derby race scheduled for 5:57, so a busy day at Sam Houston Race Park tomorrow. If you wear a derby hat, you can enter to win their derby hat contest, $500 to first place. And, of course, they'll have mint julep drink specials, which you can't beat that on a Kentucky Derby Saturday. You ever dabble on the ponies?
No, I actually haven't. I actually have dabbled a little bit on the greyhounds, but not the ponies.
Yeah, I like to bet a little bit, but I don't really have like a – I'm not – I'm definitely a noob. I don't have a great understanding of the ponies. I've read Fred's book. That has helped me quite a bit. And then I used to have a guy who would DM me like randomly these horse plays, and he started off hot, then he got really cold, and he disappeared.
Oh, okay. So you got a little gun-shy there?
I'm not going to say I'm the guy who made him disappear, but yeah, he started giving me – he went cold. He was giving me a bunch of losers, and he stopped DMing me these plays.
Do we need a wellness check for this guy?
I've never met the guy. Apparently, he lived in Vegas.
We do need a wellness check.
Yeah, he would send me these plays, and he started hot. I was like, okay, all right, this guy knows what he's doing. And then he went ice cold, and I was like, okay, well, this is over. All right. Coming up next, the voice of the Houston Astros on the shin, Todd Kalas, joins the program. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.